We are glad that you're here tonight. We have visitors with us again tonight. Thank you for coming. It is encouraging to me and to this congregation to have you here. So thank you for spending your time and your gas money to be here. As announced, our topic tonight is gossip. Let me introduce this topic with an excerpt from an article by Robert Turner. And of course, Brother Turner had a knack for describing points in a very understandable way. Here's what his article said. A certain preacher's secretary told my wife, the story often originates with a third party, to sound authentic and to remove responsibility from the tale-bearer, nurses, secretaries, the maid, or anyone likely to come upon confidential information will do. You know, he's been out of town a lot lately. Give it an element of truth, fit it in with a few known facts to make it just plausible enough to swallow. I dislike telling this, but I know it is my Christian duty. By all means, do your duty. The scriptures say rebuke before all, and by taking them one at a time, you can have a whole juicy week of it. Clearly, your duty to tell all outweighs your duty to check for accuracy, go to the party involved and offer genuine assistance in making correction, and consider the effect this publicity will have on many innocent people. And his article went on from there. You get the idea. We want to talk about the sin of gossip tonight. And gossip is one of those sins that is hard to root out of your life. Sometimes it can be hard to identify when we are gossiping. And even when we identify it, it's hard to root out. It's a pleasurable sin in a number of ways. It's just hard to get rid of. And so we want to talk about some of those things tonight. And we'll start off by just asking the question, what is gossip? Let's try to define what gossip is. The word gossip appears several times in the New American Standard Translation. It's translated as whisperings in the King James Version, which maybe gives us kind of an inkling or our first idea of what it's talking about. Whisperings or slanderings, that sort of thing. And it just takes a little time to try to really get an idea of what that word is talking about. Let's look at the six New Testament passages where this appears, and I'll throw them up on the screen behind me. Romans chapter 1, verses 29 and 30 says this, being filled with all unrighteousness, wickedness, greed, evil, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, malice, they are gossips, slanderers, haters of God. And so sometimes the word gossip appears in verses like this, where it's kind of listed along with other sins. And the context certainly shows us the sinfulness of gossip. It doesn't necessarily enhance our understanding of just what gossip is, but we know it's a sin from verses like that. 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 20. For I am afraid that perhaps when I come, I may find you to be not what I wish, and may be found by you to be not what you wish, that perhaps there will be strife, jealousy, angry tempers, disputes, slanders, gossip, arrogance, disturbances. Kind of similar to what we read in Romans chapter 1. And then the third passage is 1 Timothy 3:11. Women must likewise be dignified, not malicious gossips, but temperate, faithful in all things. Fourthly, we have 1 Timothy 5:13. At the same time, they also learn to be idle as they go around from house to house, and not merely idle, but also gossips and busybodies, talking about things not proper to mention. That gives us a little phrase there that shows us something about what gossip is. Here are some things that are just not proper to mention. Might be true, it's just not proper to mention. 2 Timothy 3:3 says, unloving, irreconcilable, malicious gossips without self-control, brutal, haters of good. And then finally, Titus 2 and verse 3 says, older women likewise are to be reverent in their behavior, not malicious gossips, nor enslaved to much wine, teaching what is good. And so here are the six New Testament passages where we have that word appear. If you look up the Greek word in a dictionary, here's what you'll find. Strong says this. It means whispering, that is, secret detraction. Zotahites dictionary says it means a whispering, particularly of slander and detraction. Vincent's word study says it means secret slanders. And as we just read, 1 Timothy 5:13 refers to gossips and busybodies, talking about things not proper to mention. If you look it up in an English dictionary, it'll say something like this. Gossip is, when it's in reference to a person who habitually reveals personal or sensational facts about others, or a rumor or report of an intimate nature. And so here we're just trying to get an idea of what does God mean when he's talking about gossip. And so we're looking at it just as it appears in the context of the Bible, and it also the word itself and how scholars define that word. But there's something else we have to throw in there, because we want to recognize that the Bible gives us a fuller picture of this. Not all personal information that might be talked about is necessarily gossip. And not all negative things that one might say about somebody else is necessarily gossip. And I think I can show that from Scripture, just to try to get us a well-rounded picture of what God wants us to understand about this. Look, for example, here in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 14. Let me give you three things to consider. 2 Timothy 4 and verse 14 is where Paul is writing to Timothy by inspiration and says, "Alexander the coppersmith did me much harm. The Lord will repay him according to his deeds. Be on guard against him yourself, for he vigorously opposed our teaching." Notice there, he's talking about Alexander. Is Paul gossiping about Alexander? I mean, he's talking about him, and he's also saying negative things about him. Well, he's not gossiping. He's writing by inspiration, right? The Holy Spirit is not inspiring him to commit the sin of gossip. So, right away, that verse would show us not necessarily everything you say about somebody, even if it's a negative thing, is necessarily gossip. Here, the intent of Paul is to write an epistle to this young preacher, Timothy, and warn him about somebody that he needs to watch out for. He's talking about Alexander, but it's not something that would be sinful or gossip. How about 1 Corinthians chapter 1, the next one I have listed up there? Just a couple other examples of this sort of thing. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, look at verses 10 and 11. We're just trying to form an idea in our minds of what gossip is. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 10 says, "Now I exhort you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all agree and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be made complete in the same mind and in the same judgment. For I have been informed concerning you, my brethren, by Chloe's people, that there are quarrels among you." Interesting that he mentions this. Here's, you know, just kind of a passing phrase. Chloe's mentioned this to me. Chloe's people mentioned this to me. It's interesting that, you know, evidently he had some communication from Chloe's people about this, and she's writing for help in dealing with the division, the schisms that are popping up there in Corinth. Interesting, though, that he's inspired to deal with all these problems that the Corinthians had, including this division. He does not call down Chloe and her people as being guilty of the sin of gossip. And again, we want to notice that just like Paul was writing with good intent, so was Chloe evidently here, right? She's writing for help. Here's an apostle. Let's appeal to him for help and talk about the things that are going on here to try to get some of that help. And so if we're trying to notice a pattern, that might be one thing that sticks out to us, is that there's good intent involved. There's good motive there. It's not just trying to slander or reveal inappropriate things about somebody. It's trying to get some help. How about Galatians chapter 2? Here's where Paul withstands Peter to his face. Galatians chapter 2, notice what it says starting down in verse 11. "But when Cephas came to Antioch, I opposed him to his face because he stood condemned. For prior to the coming of certain men from James, he used to eat with the Gentiles. But when they came, he began to withdraw and hold himself aloof, fearing the party of the circumcision. The rest of the Jews joined him in hypocrisy, with the result that even Barnabas was carried away by their hypocrisy. But when I saw that they were not straightforward about the truth of the gospel, I said to Cephas, in the presence of all, 'If you, being a Jew, live like the Gentiles and not like the Jews, how is it that you compel the Gentiles to live like Jews?'" And so forth. So he is recounting this story of when he had stood up to Peter and talked to him about this problem that was going on. So is Paul gossiping to the Galatians here as he's telling this story about Peter? Well, again, he's writing by inspiration. He certainly wasn't inspired to commit the sin of gossip. And then if we turn forward just a little bit, again, in a place like 3 John in verses 9 and 10, where John is writing about Diotrephes, there's another example. Verse 9, "I wrote something to the church, but Diotrephes, who loves to be first among them, does not accept what we say. For this reason, if I come, I will call attention to his deeds, which he's done, unjustly accusing us with wicked words. Not satisfied with this, he himself does not receive the brethren either, and he forbids those who desire to do so and puts them out of the church." And other passages that we could also use as illustrations here. But was John gossiping when he wrote that about Diotrephes? Well, certainly not. writing by inspiration. Paul, back in the Galatians 2 example, he'd already spoken to Peter about this. That's the story he's telling. And John here says, I intend to, if I come, I'm going to talk to him directly about this. And so they're going to handle it person to person, or it's already been handled person to person. And so that's not something that's behind the back. We're just trying to spread stories, spread rumors of an intimate nature and that sort of thing. And so if I'm looking at that right, you can check me on this, if I'm on the right track anyway, I think we learn that the content of what is said is not the sole determining factor of whether something is gossip or not. You have to look also at the motivation. That's of utmost importance. Paul and Chloe and John were intending to do right. They were intending to accomplish something good in a genuine way. They're not trying to simply spread rumors or revealing sensational tidbits about others or feeding itching ears. It wasn't that sort of thing. They're warning. Paul's warning Timothy about Alexander. They're seeking help in the example of Chloe's people. And they're condemning sin in these last two examples that we looked at. So let me put this on the screen. This is my definition of gossip. You can critique it using these Bible passages and others that we'll read through tonight. But if I'm on the right track, this is my understanding of what gossip is. It is the sharing of personal or negative information, either true or false, about someone else without righteous intent. So it's the sharing of personal or negative information. Might not be negative information, just might be something, as 1 Timothy 5 said, not proper to mention. Might be true or might be false. Sometimes we say, well, it's not gossip, this is true. Well, it might be true, it's just not proper to mention and to be spreading around. And it's about someone else without righteous intent. You're not doing what Chloe's people were doing. You're not doing what Paul was doing in warning Timothy. You're just doing it for the fun of it. Or you just like talking about other people or whatever it is. But there's no genuine righteous intent. And so let's remember that God is the judge in all these things. He understands, He knows our motivation and our intent when we speak. He will know if we're gossiping and we're just saying things because we want to say something, or if we're truly trying to do something that is right. One thing we need to be careful of, just tagging a certain phrase onto the beginning or the ending of what we say does not magically mean that it's no longer gossip, right? Sometimes we do that. We need to be careful about that. For example, we say something like this, have you heard about so-and-so? You know, he did this or that. And then at the end of 5 minutes of talking, we say, but I'm only telling you this so that you can pray for him, because, you know, we think that kind of magically takes away. Now it's righteous intent. Now we've got that in there and it's no longer gossip. Well, again, God knows if that's truly the case or not. Or maybe you just put that on there because you wanted to tell the story and then you say something like that. God's the judge of that sort of thing. But I think we need to heed that warning. Let's be very careful about that sort of thing. Now, I don't think when elders get together and talk about, let's say, a member that's having trouble, that's not gossip, right? There's righteous intent. They're intending to help. They're not spreading rumors with each other. They're trying to help. If it's not elders, if it's just members that both know somebody in the congregation, they're going to come together and getting ready to go to this person, like Matthew 18 talks about, something like that. That's righteous intent. That's not what we're talking about tonight. I don't think that would be gossip if I'm understanding what the Bible says gossip is. And so if you want to ask others to pray for somebody, that's fine. But you can do just that. You can ask them to pray. But when we start going into details of the problems, I'm afraid we quickly step over that line and we start getting into gossip, and we need to be careful about that. And again, just tagging certain phrases on there doesn't necessarily put us in the clear if I understand things. We might say, I don't mean to gossip, but, and then we gossip. I don't think that puts us in the free and clear. This isn't gossip because it's the truth. Well, I don't see any in any of the passages we read or the definitions we read, it doesn't necessarily have to be a false thing in order to be gossip. It might just be something inappropriate to mention. Or we might start with a compliment. You know, he's a nice guy, but did you know this about him? Or I'm just telling you this because I want to see what you think about this. And again, there might be times when we genuinely are seeking some assistance in dealing with some problem. Chloe's people writing to Paul and trying to get some help with that. Again, we just need to be careful. And then the best one of all time, as far as this kind of list goes, bless his heart. If we say bless his heart, we can say whatever we want before or after that, right? At least that's in our minds. Because we know that our intent is good and we favor this person, bless his heart, and then we gossip. We need to be real careful. Just saying that does not mean everything before and after that is no longer gossip. As one man said, when we ask for advice, we are usually looking for an accomplice. I certainly understand that sometimes it helps to have another person's perspective on your situation. But you know what we can do most of the time, if not all of the time? We can ask for advice in a way that is vague enough and anonymous enough that we're not gossiping. We're just genuinely seeking help with this kind of situation. And we don't have to be specific and run other people down and that sort of thing. There's just not a phrase that we can tag onto there that magically causes gossip to no longer be gossip. So, when are we going beyond the right thing and starting to gossip? Well, that's a tough one. God is the judge. And remember that He knows your hearts. But I think it'd be wise to err on the side of caution, don't you? Let's be warned by Jesus' words in Luke 16:15. You are those who justify yourselves before men, but God knows your hearts. Well, let's turn our attention to the next topic here. What's so dangerous about gossip? Turn to James chapter 1, please. Notice what it says in James chapter 1. And as you're turning there, remember what Jesus said in Matthew 12:36. But I tell you that every careless word that people speak, they shall give an accounting for it in the day of judgment. One dangerous thing about gossip is that it severs our relationship with God. Jesus, here in Matthew 12:36, talks about, you know, we're going to be judged based on the things that come out of our mouths. This is something that is a problem when it comes to our relationship with God. Here in James chapter 1 and verse 26, if anyone thinks himself to be religious and yet does not bridle his tongue but deceives his own heart, this man's religion is worthless. And so we're fooling ourselves. We're deceiving ourselves. Oh, I'm a Christian, but I'm gossiping all the time. Well, you're not doing the right thing. You're messing up your relationship with God. God cares what comes out of our mouths. In Romans chapter 1, as we read earlier, gossip is listed right along with all of those other sins that we consider such terrible sins, murder and hatred of parents and those kinds of things. You want to be in that category? First and foremost, the fact that gossip is a sin, that it separates us from God, should motivate us to never want to engage in gossip. And conscientious people will guard their lips with great care. But as we mentioned at the beginning, one of the dangerous things about gossip is also this. It's an attractive sin. Go back to the book of Proverbs, please, and we'll read several Proverbs again tonight, just like we did last night. Proverbs chapter 18. Look at what it says in verse 8. I'm reading from the New American Standard, Proverbs 18 and verse 8. The words of a whisperer are like dainty morsels, and they go down into the innermost parts of the body. You know, it's like a candy. You just pop candy and it tastes good. Here's these dainty morsels. Can't eat just one, and it's pleasurable. That's kind of like what gossip is like. That's the illustration that's being used. And so that means we have to learn not to like it. And maybe it's appealing and maybe it's fun and maybe this is what we do on Facebook or in chat rooms or when we get together or whatever it is. We have to learn and force ourselves to learn not to like it. It's easy to get caught up listening to and sharing juicy tidbits about other people. That's what makes it so dangerous. That's why it's so prevalent. It's fun to do. It's an appealing, attractive sin, at least in some ways, and so gossip just goes and goes and goes and goes because we're interested in that, and we keep it going. Look at the gossip magazines in the news, grocery store aisles. Why are those such big business? I don't know how many millions or billions of dollars they make. We like to see and read about who's divorcing who and all this, you know, basically gossip in print, right? And so it's big business. We're attracted to that. We'll have more to say about that later when we discuss how to stop gossip. But it's dangerous because it's an attractive sin. And then thirdly, it hurts relationships. And that's why it's dangerous. Go to Proverbs chapter 16, please. This is true in families. It's true of friends. It's true of churches. It's true even of nations. Jeremiah said when it was, the nation of Judah's in shambles, and he says gossip is one of those things that's commonplace. He said this, every brother deals craftily, and every neighbor goes about as a slanderer. Jeremiah 9 and verse 4. Look in Proverbs 16 and verse 28. A perverse man spreads strife, and a slanderer separates intimate friends. Here are these people. Maybe they've been friends 20 years, but the slanderer comes along, and the gossip comes along, and it drives a wedge in that relationship. Proverbs chapter 17 and verse 9. He who conceals a transgression seeks love, but he who repeats a matter separates intimate friends. Somebody tells us something in confidence, and instead of locking that down, we just blab to the next person and separates intimate friends. Chapter 25, Proverbs chapter 25 and verse 9. Argue your case with your neighbor and do not reveal the secret of another, or he who hears it will reproach you and the evil report about you will not pass away. Let me give you one more while we're here. Proverbs 26 and verse 20. For lack of wood, the fire goes out, and where there is no whisperer, contention quiets down. Someone wrote this, I am more deadly than the screaming shell of the cannon. I win without killing. I tear down homes, break hearts, wreck lives. I travel on the wings of the wind. No innocence is strong enough to intimidate me. No purity pure enough to daunt me. I have no regard for truth, no respect for justice, no mercy for the defenseless. My victims are as numerous as the sands of the sea and often as innocent. I never forget and seldom forgive. My name is gossip. Wonder how many tears have been shed in the history of the world because of gossip. How many families have been torn apart, friends separated, churches split. Or maybe a church was going to split anyway, but it was made a lot uglier because of gossip. It's a terrible sin, and it's dangerous because it severs relationships. Well, also it's dangerous because it becomes something that you can't fix. James 3 and verse 5 says, see how great a forest is set aflame by such a small fire. You know, we start some things and you can't stop it. It's out there. You can repent of it. You can pray to God for forgiveness, and that's what you ought to do. And you can try to contain it as much as you can, but once you say something, you can't control how often it might be repeated to someone else, especially today. In the days of social media, it's on Facebook, and it's, hey, you can't take it out and back now. People have seen it, they've read it, and it's just out there. It's like the old illustration of taking a feather pillow and opening it up in the wind, and there go the feathers, and there's no way you're getting them all back in there. That's the way gossip is. It's out there, and you can repent of that, you can pray for forgiveness, but just like the murderer can't resurrect his victim, you cannot undo the things that have been said. You can try your best, but the gospel just can't erase his words. Well, gossip is a dangerous, dangerous sin. Well, let's talk to the next step then, the positive thinking now. How do we stop gossiping? If it's such a problem, how do we get rid of this and stop gossiping? Given the dangers of it, we want to put energy into avoiding gossip. And the real simple answer is apply the muzzle, right? David said, I will guard my mouth as with a muzzle in Psalm 39:1. He wasn't specifically talking about gossip there, but that certainly applies to any sin of the tongue that we might be guilty of. You're going to simply have to decide to become aware, first of all, of gossip in your conversations and then stop engaging in it. Stop the cycle. Be the broken link in the chain. Look back in Proverbs chapter 11, please. Notice what it says in verse 13. Proverbs 11 and verse 13. He who goes about as a talebearer reveals secrets, but he who is trustworthy conceals a matter. There again is that idea. Here's something somebody tells me in confidence. They tell me their problems. They confess their sins perhaps. And I'm not going to be one to turn that into gossip. It might be juicy, but I'm going to resist that temptation. I'm just going to lock that down, and that's the end of that. How about chapter 21, please? Proverbs 21 and verse 23. He who guards his mouth and his tongue guards his soul from trouble. We just have so many verses, especially in the book of Proverbs, telling us to be careful with the things that we say. We have James 1:19 telling us to be slow to speak, to think before we open our mouths. If you're tempted to gossip, maybe one thing you could do is consider how you feel when you are gossiped about. And maybe that will help you to slow down and not say anything or change the subject or something like that. You might find that slowing down and considering your words before you say them does your world a good and saves a world of hurt. So number one, apply the muzzle. Secondly, stop listening to gossip. Not always possible. Sometimes somebody says something and you can't always just stop something that you read or something that somebody says. But when possible, you can do this. Proverbs 20 and verse 19, he who goes about as a slanderer reveals secrets. Therefore, do not associate with a gossip. You know, last night we talked about planning. Try to plan things that you say, and maybe we could plan in this regard. When we start hearing gossip and we recognize it for what it is, maybe we can just come up with some phrase that we say, like, oh, that stuff just bothers me. I don't even like to hear that stuff. And just kind of put somebody off like that and just let them know you're not into that. You're not going to feed that and keep asking questions and bringing out more and more and fishing for more and more juicy tidbits there. Your attitude is you're just not interested in that. And hopefully, after a while, people will get the hint. And if this has been your habit, hopefully your friends will recognize this is no longer your habit. And this is going to dry up. And as we said before, gossip is an attractive sin. But if others learn that you're no longer attracted to that, then hopefully they'll stop bringing that to you. And also, not listening to gossip would mean not fishing for gossip. We fish for gossip. We're pretty much always going to catch something, right? There's always going to be some return there unless the other person's doing really well. So not listening to gossip is one way to stop that cycle. And that's what we need to do as Christians. And then number three, I think the Bible suggests this. Change your thinking about others. You know, like all speech, gossip starts in the mind, doesn't it? It's what we're thinking about someone else that means we're going to say something about them to somebody else in an inappropriate way. Jesus said, the mouth speaks out of that which fills the heart. And so we have that in our mind, the Bible heart, our mind, and then it comes out. And what we're thinking about someone or what we're assuming about someone finds its way out in the words that we say. When you stop gossiping, you kind of shut off that verbal outlet and strangle those thoughts. They've got nowhere to go now. And after a time, if you're good at applying that muzzle, and just like you turn the water faucet off, you just shut your mouth. You stop gossiping. At some point, those thoughts are going to have nowhere to go. And hopefully you'll stop thinking those things. And you'll just change your mindset. That's really where this needs to take place. Not just a mouth problem. It's not a tongue problem. It's a mind problem. And so that's a way that we need to address gossip. In fact, that's kind of the fundamental way that we need to address that problem. If you just never allow yourself to use those thoughts in a conversation, you'll strangle them and they'll have nothing else to do but die. And so you see, the goal is to stop thinking the bad things and adopt God's method of dealing with other people. What are we to do when another has trouble with sin? Galatians 6 says you try to help them, right? You go to them, you help them bear that burden. It does not say there or other places. You turn around and gossip about the, I saw them doing something, I know that they're doing something, and so my job now is to gossip about them. How are we to use our language? Ephesians 4:29 says use words that are edifying, words that are going to build up, not words that are going to tear down. But all of that starts in the mind. What is my view toward my fellow man, especially my fellow Christian? Am I going to help, or am I just interested in something that's juicy? Let's view other people as ones that we want to be in heaven with. Now, let me just issue one final observation. And if you brought your tomatoes with you tonight, get ready to throw them. I am not trying to be unfair with what I'm about to say. I just want to make an observation, and then you can dismiss it if it's not biblical. A special warning to women. First of all, consider something about men. Colossians 3:21 and Ephesians 6:4 says something to fathers specifically. Do not exasperate your children. Do not provoke them to anger. Why were both of those verses directed to fathers and not mothers? Well, I don't know. Holy Spirit didn't explain that. They just are. They're directed to fathers. Is it because fathers need that special warning that maybe we tend to lose our temper a little bit more than with the kids than mothers typically do? I don't know. It's an interesting observation to make, though, and when I teach about fathers, I make that observation. We especially need that warning not to exasperate our kids and to provoke them to anger. Now, that's the same kind of observation I like to make about gossip. We read those six passages from the New Testament about gossip. Three of them are general in nature. Three of them have to do with women. You noticed in 1 Timothy 3:11, women must likewise be dignified, not malicious gossips. 1 Timothy 5 and Titus 2:3 also mention younger widows and older women. So let me just ask the question, and you can decide for yourself. Do women have more of a tendency to gossip than men? Well, maybe so, maybe not. Is this why half of the warnings in the New Testament are specifically addressed to them? Well, ultimately, it doesn't matter too much. The Holy Spirit says that gossip is wrong. It's wrong for men and it's wrong for women. It's a sin for either one to do it. And we just want to bring up that point. But I know this for sure. Women could not say, well, that's just the way we are. You know, when we get together, we just talk and that's just the way we are. Well, I know that's not the case. If anything, there's special emphasis and special warning where women three times are specifically called out and made sure to realize you are not to do this certain thing. And so God told fathers specifically, don't exasperate your children. And God told women specifically in these three places not to gossip. Even though it might take special restraint for the fathers, might take special restraint for the women, to do this, it's something that must be followed. I preached a sermon one place and a lady said to me, and I'm not trying to tell a joke, but she said, you know, another category you might add is preachers. And unfortunately, that can be true. You know, sometimes I go in meetings and you ride around with the local preacher you know a lot about the brethren sometimes. You'll be happy to know Terry Starling is not like that. But sometimes that's the way it is. Preachers, you know, you have no special reason to think that we are exempt from these kinds of rules. We need to be careful just like everybody else. But let's all of us, preachers, other folks as well, all men, all women, let's rededicate ourselves to guarding our lips. That starts with guarding our minds so that we don't commit the destructive and condemned sin of gossip. When in doubt, play it safe. Ephesians 4:29, let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth, but only such a word as is good for edification according to the need of the moment, so that it will give grace to those who hear. Let's be careful to guard our lips. Thank you for your kind attention this evening. We haven't been talking necessarily about how to come into a saved relationship with the Father. But Jesus said, John 8:24, unless you believe that I am He, you will die in your sins. And so we know that belief is necessary. We understand that repentance is also necessary to be saved. Acts 17:30, God's declaring all people everywhere must repent. Repent simply means you change your mind. I'm not going to serve myself and sin anymore. I'm going to serve God to the best of my ability. And true repentance manifests itself in your life. You'll see your life change when you make that good and genuine decision. We know we have to confess the faith that we have, Romans 10, 9 and 10, just like the Ethiopian did in Acts 8 and verse 37. And we know we have to be baptized for the forgiveness of sins, Acts 2 and verse 38, so that we can be saved, 1 Peter 3:21. We'd be glad to sit down and study with you any of those points, anything we've talked about tonight or anything this week, and not express opinions, but just show you Bible verses so you can know that you're basing your life on what God has said. If there's a way we can help you publicly, please come forward while we stand and sing for your encouragement.